Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
All right, here we go on a Wednesday. Cody Ingold, Alex Gold, Cody Tapp, Steven Serta with you. Danny Welniak going to join us coming up 1 hour from now. Sports director over at KCTV5, our weekly conversation with her. And Vern going to join us at 12:30 today, our Royals insider, get his thoughts on where things are at with the Royals. And last night we saw them unfortunately go down yet again, 3-9 on the season. They lose the first start that Brady Singer has been in, 5-4 the final score. Brady Singer now 0-1 on the season. And you look at Brady Singer last night in particular, and he even said it. It was two mistakes, and in the majors, when you make two mistakes, they are going to make you pay immediately. And this is a Cubs team that is certainly started off very hot to the season. They're 9-2. It's an impressive lineup. You're not going to be able to make those mistakes, but you still don't come away from the game. That's my concern is not Singer or my goodness, here we go with Brady Singer, anything like that. It still goes back to this offense and this team doing too little too late last night. We were watching the ninth inning. You're listening to it here on 610 and you thought, okay, maybe there's a chance they could put something together. They got you back into it a little bit in the ninth inning and drew you back in. But overall, it's just too little too late. And this is a team that 12 games in the season is 3-9 and five of the losses are by one run, but it goes back to the offense. It's too little too late. And it's the same concern that we had yesterday, and it didn't change from what we saw last night.
It didn't, and I guess, like, they got some late runs. Had a hope. Nick Heath standing on third, trying to come home, right? I mean, they gave themselves a chance, but again, it's so much based in this fact that there's so little offense to go around to go with it that it makes Brady Singer's start look worse. And I got to be honest, plenty of starters are going to have starts where they go five innings and allow four runs. And that's totally fine. And you know what happened? He hung a slider to a professional major league hitter. And Jason Hayward absolutely punished that pitch like you would anticipate him punishing that pitch. But we've yet to see multiple guys be on at the same time, because while Brady Singer wasn't at his best yesterday, he was perfectly fine, truthfully. His ERA is, 4.80 after three starts? But he was limited in the inning count there early, which is going to push that number up there as well. He's been better than that. And he showed me that he can get strikeouts. Like, that was the one thing about the minors that people didn't love about his numbers, that they wondered about him, because there were conversations. I know we don't think about that now because of how excited we are to watch Brady Singer. But when he first came up, Gold, there were a lot of questions about, does he factor into being more of a back-end bullpen guy, where he can dial it up and get those strikeouts, those high strikeout numbers. We didn't see as much in the minors. But in his very brief time in Kansas City, he's averaging 10 strikeouts per nine, almost 11 strikeouts per nine. He can do it. He got a bunch last night. He's got some swing and miss in some of those guys, and he hung a couple of bad pitches. The offense, however, yikes. Other than the fact, I guess, Mondesi, are we done worrying about him? Other than that, I don't know that I feel very good about the offense. And Mondesi, for what it's worth, now leads the team in batting average.
Yeah, who would have thought that, considering what the conversation was around him a little over a week ago? Yesterday we had someone text into the show, wanting to still trade Mondesi. And even before yesterday's game, he was still 8 of his last 19. And then he had a couple hits last night, 3 in particular, I should say.
He's hit 500 over his last 7 games.
It's just getting everybody in the right spots, doing it when it matters most. When you've got runners on base, and are you able to get runners on base? Whether it's because your inability to to get on base via being patient at the plate or get the right guys at the right time doing it. They just don't have it. And when you're trying to have a ninth inning rally, certainly, and you dig yourself in that kind of hole, it's going to be extremely difficult. Despite it, what was a fun ninth inning to watch, and you felt like maybe there was a chance they were going to go and find a way to steal one there against the Cubs. But instead, we're looking at the Royals, and they're 3-9 through 12 games, Cody. And
like you
and
said, a lot of those are close.
Five of them are one-run games, but... And I know they've been on the road a ton and all that. Now they're back home for five, but still, it's just knowing the opponents that they've got. The Cubs are a very good baseball team. They're 9-2 to start. They've got two more, and they're going to be at the K. And then the Twins are in town this weekend. And so it's extremely frustrating looking at the offense. I know Mike Matheny had mentioned that, you know, he feels like they aren't too far away from getting back on track.
We're paid to win ball games. But to see that kind of fight and those kind of at-bats late in the game, really proud of how they went about that. And a couple inches away from that being a completely different ball game and a different ending. But overall, just that kind of fight that you want to see, that I think is all about what Kansas City Royals baseball believes in. And it was just a shame that we just couldn't quite get that last one there, but they did a great job getting us right back.
I mean, all the games, there's no question about it. You know, are there guys quitting or anything like that? That's not the problem whatsoever. I mean,
I've seen that in old teams.
Sure. But. And we're 12 games in. I would sure hope not, by the way, that we wouldn't already be seeing. I know it's a 60-game schedule, and you can expand it and say how many games is it equal in 162 and things like that. But no, you haven't seen that. And they did have an opportunity in the ninth inning. And I, you know, heading in based off of what Alec Mills did on Monday to the Royals, you knew it was going to be difficult going up against a better pitcher, which is Hendricks. And now you get Yu Darvish on the other end tonight for the Cubs, and you get Bubich tonight, though, for his second major league start. And that seems like, and I hate saying this because I certainly would love to be talking about this team by the end of this week, figuring out a way to get this offense going. And
win
they,
the next two, then they're back to your finish 500 by the end of the week plan.
Yeah, because they're 0-2 to start. And I said they got to stay 500 this week because you can't go into next week worse than where you were, which was four games already under 500. Doesn't look good so far. But
things are going to have to turn around quickly.
As fun as it is to talk about Chris Bubich making his starts and following him and seeing what Singer looks like and seeing the great work that Stamont's doing, and now it's nice to see Mondesi get going. Ultimately, that I this early into this season, I was hoping we were going to at least make it to the middle of August, where this team is still
hanging around.
And for them to be able to do that, they are going to at minimum have to find a way to now get this thing even backed up this week, heading into the season series, I guess I should say, against the Minnesota Twins in next week. And when you try to buy some time till Dozier gets back, it's exciting to see Brad Keller on Thursday night. But all of that, I want to be excited about them pitching, sure, but it's going to be disappointing if we're going to be talking about Brad Keller's return and these other guys continue to build up their major league starts, but this team is, you know, 6, 7, 8, 9 games under 500, and hoping that they find a way to get this offense going. Because again, it's still not been the pitching. Even yesterday, where Singer didn't have his best stuff and made some mistakes, there was no offense until the ninth inning.
That does make it different than last year, though. Because last year, there weren't a lot of players that got called up that you were like, yeah, all right. I mean, you know, like Nicky Lopez got called up, and you're like, oh, I'm curious, what are we going to see out of Nicky? Like, he's had a nice run in the minors. Let's see what we got. This year, at least already, we've seen two highly thought-of pitchers get the call back up. Then we get, you know, Keller starts again on Thursday, so we might see the forming of their future big league rotation. But right now, they're in, like, drafting Kumar Rocker next year territory. And that's not, I mean, for the drafting Kumar Rocker part, I'm interested.
Not 12 games in.
But not because I was ready for this to be the beginning of the leap year. And that's what you're always trying to decide. And it doesn't have to, it's never going to look, I think people always want to compare and be like, all right, in 12, then all those young guys come up, and then in 13, they started, you know, they were like 70 and 90. And that's a rough estimate. And then, you know, in 14, they're a good team who competes, finds their way into the postseason, and has an incredible run. And then 15, they're one of the best teams in baseball. And 16, they're still in the mix. Like, people think sometimes it's this slow build. But if the Royals' rotation can turn around quickly, then they need to start looking for bats that can be ready to go with those guys immediately. And at least there is still that for Kansas City. But it doesn't get any easier. I don't know if you guys have been watching the rest of the teams in baseball, but as it sits right now, the only team with a better run differential then the Minnesota Twins is the Dodgers. And the Twins have won 5 in a row and are 9-2. Things are not about to get easier. While the Royals have lost 5 in a row, the Twins have won 5 in a row, and it doesn't mean they can't hang for some of the pitching parts of that, but the only way to do that is to acquire runs. Yes, the Royals got, what, 1 in the first last night? And then what? Like, they had runners on first and second, nobody out, after they had scored a run and got one whole run. Like, that's it. Like, you just can't, like, that's not the way they can live right now. My problem still is, like, some of their offensive stats still actually point to, like, it shouldn't be quite this bad. Like, maybe they weren't going to be a dominant offense, but it shouldn't be this bad. And then you watch every time they come up with runners on and try to go to the plate, and you're like, what is this? What are some of these approaches? Why are some? And last night was the first time that I watched them. They were patient. Like, they saw 100 pitches in the first 7 innings of that game, which is quite a bit, and just had no runs to show for it. So at least finally last night they were showing patience, and you hope the next tick of that is patience and then eventually taking advantage of bad pitching. But, you know, we got Mondesi. Witt is a guarantee. You got Mondesi at least coming around, but it's still a lot of questions for Kansas City right now.
Better approach last night, but they got to start seeing some results here awfully quick before this thing gets
approach,
out of...
You know, I mean, runs eventually yeah, be cool.
Right, like you got to start seeing the runs and have it equate to some wins here very, very soon. So net 3-9, first pitch tonight, a little after 7. Vern's pregame will be at 6 o'clock here on 610, and Bubic will make his second start in the big leagues. We'll talk more Royals coming up in 20 minutes, looking at Nicky Lopez and where he's at within this organization, where he's at in the lineup, and how much we have seen from him so far this year. But we have seen in college football at this point, the Big Ten today put out their schedule, the Big 12 deciding themselves to go with the 9+1 plan. So your conference games and then the one non-conference game. And this to me was the most likely plan all along, just because that is what I think ideally coaches would want in this world. Ideally, with the current climate we're in, that would be the ideal scenario versus just going with the strictly conference format, which is what the Big Ten has decided to do, which is what we've seen the ACC decide to do.
And more teams
to do it. That's why they're able to. And that's why the Big 12, I think, this was the most likely plan, because you had to get the even number to 10. But I still feel like conference play may be ultimately all they get to. And that's just because of if the SEC knows something, maybe in terms of what they're doing, which is a September 26th start date. Remember, the Big 12 is still trying to start roughly there. It's going to be September 5th for some schools. It might be September 18th or whatever for other schools for their home openers, but it might be something where it gets pushed back further. And if that's the case, what are they going to eliminate? They're going to eliminate that one non-conference game. So I'm not so sure we still even see that +1 game happen. How does that impact the schools here locally? If you're Kansas State, they open up against Buffalo. The MAC hasn't canceled their season. They still might get that one in, but
the MAC hasn't announced their scheduling.
Correct.
Plans.
We don't know yet. A few of the group of fives have Mountain West today, but North Dakota,
Sunbelt, AAC have theirs, but yeah,
the North Dakota. And then Vanderbilt is who's on the Kansas State schedule. SEC's not playing non-conference, so we know K-State's not going to play Vandy. KU has the BC game, Boston College. ACC's not playing non-conference, so you can already cross that one out. Coastal Carolina, and then Southern Illinois was already a replacement for the New Hampshire game, and now it looks like Southern Illinois game's not going to happen. So the scheduling is a complete mess. Nobody knows really for sure if they're opening up and who they're opening up against.
No, they're not, because we don't have a full entire scope of the season right now, but aren't... Can we just admit for a minute that of all the sports leagues, college football is in complete denial here? College football is not, like, maybe I'm wrong here. Maybe things will turn around. But of all the sports that are definitely not going to happen, it is college football. How is any of this going to work? They've, like, dialed back to this conference schedule like somehow that's the solution to all their problems. I got nothing against Big 12's 9+1 if I thought college football was realistic. But the sheer number of people you have to keep in order to make this happen makes it seem almost impossible to negotiate the entirety of the schedule. And again, everyone's kind of like, at this point, it is 10 games for the SEC. It is 10 games for the Big Ten. It is 10 games for the Big 12. It is 10 games for the Pac-12. And it's only 11 for the ACC because they let Notre Dame come kick it with them. Like, that's it. Everyone else is, they've decided on a similar schedule, but they're not even starting. Like, some are starting late August, early September. Some are starting all the way back at late September. And I think it's because there's just so much uncertainty still. It's just I think college football is still kind of living in denial about what their actual situation is. Like you said, like the Big 12 is like, we're going to play this plus one. Are you? Because I'm not even sure you're getting in the nine. You said, I'm not sure they're getting in anything past the nine. I'm not even sure they're getting in the nine. Like, so I don't know that I feel any better about this other than here's your plan. You're like, all right, cool. I mean, good job putting it together, but also you should probably go ahead and make a plan that doesn't involve college football.
I mean, this is what all the conferences are doing, though. I mean, I don't think it would make much sense, though, for them here on August 5th to go ahead and just cancel the whole season.
No,
had this discussion. Do I think they get all nine or all 10 in? I think the odds on that aren't probably great. But at this point, like, what do you expect? Of course, they're going to put out a plan here and see where things are going. We saw UConn today cancel, though, its 2020 football season. They were the first FBS school to do that, and I saw a lot of people freaking out about that. I think you also have to dive deeper in why UConn might be doing this. Yes, is it noteworthy that an FBS school is canceling their entire football season? No question. It is notable. But they're independent. This is Notre Dame was able to stay alive and fill a schedule because they are Notre Dame and have an NBC TV contract that's huge, and they're going to share the revenue with the ACC. They're already partial members with the ACC and all their other sports except for football. It made sense. They have that intrigue if you are a national audience and if you're the ACC. UConn football doesn't exactly excite people. There's a lot of people that probably didn't know if UConn was still playing football until this morning. So I think if you're looking at UConn, they don't have the TV deal. They don't have the intrigue that Notre Dame had. And so it makes it a much more easier decision for UConn to cancel it out. Not to mention, I believe they lost money last year, and it's hard to do because even bad football programs do make money usually. Like Kansas still makes money off their football program. Shocking, I know, but they do. UConn apparently did not last year. So I think let's hold off on, oh my gosh, panic college football. UConn's canceling their season. It's not exactly the best position college football program to begin with.
But this is the fault. College football did all this to themselves. Do you realize that? Like Wisconsin earlier today was like asking for donations from, like they started it like essentially a GoFundMe for their athletics department because they claim they're going to lose a bunch of money on Wisconsin football. And what has happened as a result of this is, in an attempt to remain not a business, Gold, they didn't want to like stash too much money because then it would look like a business, and now they don't have the money. It's like, which is stupid because they've earned just hand over fist, and instead of just pocketing that and saving it for a rainy day, like, you know, a business would do. Like a business might hold some profits, right? And then have those available in the times when things are more difficult. But they did not do that because they instead spent them on video screens in the locker room or whatever nonsense people put into football programs. And now all these teams, like, I think college football probably will still happen, even though I don't think it should. It's the sport at the greatest risk of screwing it up. But the reason why it will is because they have put themselves in such bad financial position. They will do whatever they can to push these things through.
A little bit of news in the NFL. Former Chiefs wide receiver now with the Dolphins just put out on Instagram. He has opted out of the 2020 season. That would be Albert Wilson. So he has decided to opt out of the 2020 season. That's the second Dolphins wide receiver in the last 24 hours or so. Alan Hearns as well. As we continue to approach Thursday at 3 o'clock. So tomorrow at 3 o'clock is the deadline for players to opt out if they still want to get that, you know, the stipend, the loan, the certain amount of money,
sure,
and all of that. And so the list will continue to grow. But some of these teams are getting just depleted at certain positions. Like the Niners last night had Travis Benjamin.
Who has left to play wide receiver for them, Serta? Yeah.
And the Dolphins
are now down
too.
Also, I'm not drafting any of them in fantasy. You can just count me out there.
Devontae Parker and Preston Williams are both good wide receivers. But Preston Williams, they're not sure he's going to be healthy to start camp because he's coming off an ACL tear.
I guess Brandon Ayuk.
Is Tua going to start week one? Do we think Tua starts
in
week one for Miami?
49ers?
Do we think Tua starts week one for the Dolphins?
No, it's going to be Fitz. It's going to be Fitzmagic. I will be drafting Mike Gesicki in a lot of fantasy leagues.
Because of this? Because of what? The tight end? Is that what you're thinking?
He was a late round guy anyways. Okay. He's got a lot of talent. And now with their pass catchers dropping like flies, he's going to be heavily targeted.
So more opt-outs. You want fantasy insight like that? Sir, it is Fantasy Flash coming up a little over an hour from now. We'll have another wide receiver actually to take a look at and then get your vet. We're getting close to draft season, too, for fantasy football. Because of everything, it's been normally, I'm already...
I haven't even had the normal text with my league about what day.
Normally, we're figuring that out and trying to organize the league. Who's still in it? Are we raising the price of the entry fee this year? Haven't had a single conversation with anybody about that.
Is that the eventual, like... I don't know why we always come to that. Like, it's like in a home poker game or in a fantasy football league. Why can't we just play for the same amount for an eternity?
Because you're like, yeah, it's a new year. Let's bump the stakes up, baby. Let's go.
You're that guy? I hate that.
Yeah.
I just want it to be a $100 league forever.
Because in 20 years, you want it to be like $5,000.
No, I don't. Well, I just want it to be...
You're not
100?
Planning on making more money as you get older?
Nope. I work at radio. This is all real. I'm a realist. I just want a $100 league to be a $100 league for an eternity. I will play in a $100 league. That's what, like, poker, I do the same way, right? Like, I'd be like, oh, I kind of like this.
I mean, eventually there's a
$1
cap,
blind. But I'm not trying to out here play 2-4.
But if you're good at fantasy football like I am, you have a chance to win every year.
Like, if there's eventually there's a cap, yes. But we've gone probably, I mean, I have one league that I think at one point was might have only been like 30, you know, 25 or 30. And I think we've worked our way up to 40 or 45. It's small increases. Like this year, I think we bump it up. I think I'm thinking doing a bump that 40 or 45 up to 50. And then the other league that was around 75, maybe we bump it up to 90 or 100. Yeah, you gotta keep everybody's interest high. You gotta have some more incentive for people, Cody. Now this year, I don't know if this is the year you want to have bigger entry fees because there's so much unknown that you're gonna get screwed
on.
I
just like playing for the same amount, just knowing what I'm gonna pay every year. It's nice.
Are we doing a league together here? Is this gonna happen?
I'll pay the more. Like, I don't like back out because of that, but I just like,
I have to save money for football season because
you need like a G
because I'm so invested in so many leagues.
You need like a cool G.
I have to have a fantasy football fund set aside to afford all my leagues.
Right. And then you have the daily Sunday, you know, you wake up Sunday morning, like, what's another five lineups? What's another five lineups I'll throw in?
I cap myself on daily so it doesn't get out of hand.
Yeah. Cause all of a sudden you wake up Sunday, you're like, what's another, next thing you know, you've put in $50 worth of lineups. So, what's another four lineups? Next thing you know, it's $100 on the line on lineups. Yeah, now that'll add up pretty quickly, but it's gonna be tricky. And Sir's got his fantasy flash coming up in a little over an hour. Are you drafting Big Ben in any of your fantasy football leagues? Big Ben, we saw this news come out about really his state of his arm, the state of his elbow. Do you see that he is now returning from 3 torn flexor tendons, and he's 38 years
old?
He's
done. What kind of arm?
You think he's done?
He's not gonna be good. He's gonna be like average at best. I will cap Ben Roethlisberger's season this year, even considering the amount of talent they have, at 3,800 yards and 24 touchdowns.
Does that mean he's done, though? I mean, that's not... You act like how many? I mean, that's not horrific. I don't think he's going to be a top 10 quarterback ever again, but I think he can still be...
If they had less talent, it'd be worse.
I think, sure, agreed with that. Absolutely agree with that. Connor and Juju Smith-Schuster and Johnson.
I like their talent.
Uh-huh, but...
I trust Mike Tomlin to design an offensive system around him having success. But they're done with the deep ball, right?
Big Ben says his arm feels great, though. He says it feels elbow pain for years. This is different, he says. He says that he feels different pain, different discomfort at the time. He felt it was different. It was shooting out his arm. But now
massively surgically repaired elbow great. Would just feel awesome for 16 games of NFL football. Man, I watched Peyton Manning tell me he felt good after getting his neck fused together.
Hey,
you know, like a welding torch, and then eventually, and his arm fell off the map too.
Hey.
Like, no, I've watched too many quarterbacks go down with injury. 38, you don't like just make these like miracle cure, you know, super water from Russell Wilson recoveries from
medicine's
the NFL.
Medicine's pretty incredible. It's amazing actually how quickly guys bounce back and what they do. Do I think he's going to ever be a top 10 quarterback? No, but can he be in the top 15, like 12 to 15 range? Yeah, I think that's kind of where I expect Big Ben to be. And that's why I am a little bit higher on the Steelers. I think Sir and I are both high on the Steelers compared to where you're at. I do think Big Ben can put together
love
a decent
their defense,
season.
Like some of their offensive weapons. I don't see how Big Ben's career is like, what am I supposed to assume? An upwards trajectory now? Like a couple years ago, he had some pretty big numbers, but now he's coming off of massive surgery. I don't know how I'm supposed to think I don't see them as a threat to the Chiefs at all.
Okay, yeah, they're not a Super Bowl threat, which is why, you know, this is what Big Ben had to say about winning more Lombardis.
I didn't feel that I'm close to that yet. I'm not saying I've got 10 years left in me, but I definitely feel like I've got some really good years left in me. So that was definitely a motivating factor, was coming back and showing that I still have it in the tank. I still have a lot to give this team. I still have a lot to give the fans, and I still want to win Lombardi's.
Yeah, I don't know if he'll be ever winning another Lombardi.
Lombardis. That was that
plural.
That was plural.
Yeah, that's not going to happen, Lombardis. Ben. That's definitely not going to happen, Big. But a motivated Big Ben.
I mean,
in today's medicine,
yards,
I think he's
going to
put up better
touchdowns.
Numbers than you think.
Yeah, I think. I don't think you have enough faith in their offense. And their offense might not be Le'Veon Bell, Antonio Brown exactly.
No.
But they've got a lot of young, exciting talent. I don't think James Conner can hold up for a full season, but they just drafted Anthony McFarland. He's exciting. Juju's back. Deontay Johnson. I like Pittsburgh's team a lot.
Do you think they're a threat?
For a Super Bowl? No.
No.
Could they be a top four seed this year? Yeah. I think they have a chance they could. Especially with what happened to the Patriots, too, and the Bills I don't trust.
Yeah, the AFC competition stinks.
Yeah.
I wouldn't be shocked.
I'm not saying
they
don't win 11 games somehow because Tomlin's a better coach than most of the guys.
Like if they go 12-4, I wouldn't be shocked.
Ooh, I don't know if I'm that. I'm optimistic, but I'm more in like that 10 or 11 range in best case scenario. I think they're like most likely floating around 9-7 sneaking in or 10-6 to get the four seed. They win 11, then Big Ben's definitely having a fantastic season. All right, coming up next here on Cody and Gold, what do we think about Nicky Lopez, his role on the Royals going forward, plus Derek Jeter claiming this is what actually went on down in Miami?
Cody and Gold, weekdays 10 to 2, 610 Sports Radio.
Back here on Cody and Gold, coming up in 30 minutes, we'll be joined by Danny Welniak of KCTV5. We're also about 15 minutes away from the trash of the day. Talking some Royals baseball here in the opening hour of the show. We know the offense has been struggling, to say the least. Scoring runs, period, has been an adventure. And last night, they was a little bit too little too late, to say the least. Royals now 3-9 on the season. In particular, even over the weekend, there was one scenario we were looking at. And, you know, the Royals, who have been struggling, you finally get the bases loaded twice. It was Saturday against the White Sox. And Nicky Lopez had come up to bat in the second and in the fourth. He struck out and then grounded out in both of those at-bats, and there's not many opportunities right now where the Royals are having runners on, let alone having the bases juiced. And I think when you look at Nicky Lopez, any of the frustration that people have toward him, or like, why is he not in the lineup as much, I think what happens is when you don't have many guys hitting, and as a team, you don't have those opportunities very often right now, it's just magnified more, not just from a fan base perspective, but I even think it's just looking managerially as well. When you don't get multiple chances, but when one player in particular is getting them, it doesn't come through. Yeah, it's going to be magnified. The frustration is going to increase. And so I think that's what's going on in terms of, you're wondering, why is, you know, should he be playing more? Should he be playing less? What's his role long-term in the organization?
The problem with Nicky is that he just hasn't jumped out on the page yet. And that's not to say that he still can't, but it seems like when a hitter is struggling, like Chris Owings came up and like 47 RBI opportunity. You're like, God, why does it just keep landing on him? And he used to be Omar Infante. Every time an important moment would come up, here'd come Omar Infante. And you'd be like, why is he hitting? And I'm not saying Nicky, you know, like obviously those were very different circumstances with the free agent players versus a guy that they brought up in their system.
Yeah, Nicky's 25.
Yeah, and he's an older player for like having originally been called up, but not like way older. He's still pretty 25 is pretty young, just out of that. And the reason why I don't want to just be like, well, that's it, Nicky's gonna, you know, this is who Nicky is offensively, is because he's had less than 400 at bats in his career, which just isn't very many. He's played less than one full season in the big leagues, and there was a lot of talk about all this weight he had gained and how he's trying to add power. And not like power like he's going to slug it over the fence all the time. He did have two home runs last year. But power in the sense that you can put the ball in the gap. Let the ball get to the fence. Hit the ball harder on the ground, making it harder for the defender to actually make the play. And so far this year, we haven't seen any of that. Now, his 167 average speaks for itself. But only a single extra base hit in a double. Not a triple, not a homer, not that you would expect that. He's only walked a couple of times, so he's not getting on base very often. To me, it has the looks of a guy who didn't get a ton of time in the big leagues last year. Some, right? He played in 103 games. Wasn't like he never played. Got some time in the big leagues last year, but not a lot. then had to take 3 months off of seeing big league hitting when he's not a, you know, like he wasn't coming up to be the slugger anyway. And then is now having a difficult time adjusting. You said, though, is that so far you haven't seen that, like, I haven't seen a lot of flashes from Nicky in even a few games. Like, even Mondesi, right? People get frustrated with him. And then you'll watch, like, a two-week stretch of Mondesi, you're like, goodness,
yeah, you can see it. You know why people
love
the guy.
Yeah, you're like, Mondesi can rake occasionally, right? I haven't seen that yet from Nicky. I want that, like, week to 10 to 14-day stretch where we see that. I know last year, remember, there was talk because he was hitting, like, 350 for, like, the first 10 days. But it was a lot of opposite field single stuff. I mean, you know, a lot of single, and he needs to get back to that. Get on base to make yourself valuable for this organization.
At one point, I think it was maybe five, six games in, and he had only played in maybe two or three
games. You know, I was like,
and people were wondering, why is he not in line? He's actually played in 9 of the 12. Now that's played. I understand that doesn't mean he always. I can't remember how many of those did he come in late in a ball game. But he's played in 9 games of the 12. So I think as far as usage of him, it's not as if they're going away from him or anything like that. But the issue is just the entire offense is struggling. And so when it's just everything
then
is
you
more
start amplifying other guys who are struggling the most.
Yeah, because it's so right now it's so rare that the Royals are getting runners in scoring position. And so you can count how many, you know, on one hand or on two hands certainly, you know, how many opportunities has someone stepped up to the plate where someone's been in scoring position. There just hasn't been that many.
But so Nicky has the remember, second lowest batting average in the team, only behind Franchy Cordero, who occasionally I will see some, like, slug out of. So I'm like, well, you know, maybe something he needs to work on it, obviously. He's got a less than 200 on-base percentage. But, like, Nicky's the second worst hitter on the team right now.
Yeah, but I do think also, you know, in a season where we've seen the Royals, and I think they still do lead the majors in errors, even after last night. I haven't seen the updated totals. But he at least defensively, and I know he got hurt on the double play on Saturday a little bit and
but
came out of the
sound.
Game. But he's been just fine defensively. He's not been one of the guys that have had the issues on defense so far this year.
No, and he's a nice secondary option at shortstop for them. Like, it's not that you can't go Eric Mejia or some of the other guys they might trust in those situations. But he is a nice option there. I think he obviously has a place within the Royals organization. I'm just trying to decide, like, this year felt like the tester year to find out if that place is everyday starter 162 games a year. He's done a good job staying healthy. So is he an everyday starter 162 games a year? And this year, originally going into it, before we got to a short sprint, felt like it was supposed to be the option for that. But he's not. Hey, you can look at this a couple different ways. He's definitely getting more at-bats than some of the guys we don't know as much about, right? But he's not getting a lot. He's had 20 total plate appearances. That is less than Bubba Starling. That is less than Brett Phillips. That is less than Franchy Cordero. Like, it's on par with Ryan McBroom. They're not playing him much either. And I know sometimes you'd be like, hit better, you'll play more. And then I'll tell you, well, he might hit better if he played more, right? This was the Brett Phillips argument forever. And honestly, it's probably at the point now that with Franchy Cordero, Brett Phillips, and Bubba Starling, where you legitimately probably just need to decide which of those two you're going with and stop just splitting plate appearances between all three and give actual plate appearances to two of them so that they have a chance to develop. Because to be honest, as much as Nicky has struggled, it is awfully hard to look good in 20 plate appearances when you're already a hitter trying to find his game at the major league level. That, to me, is the difference between... I'm not saying he's going to be an everyday starter, because, again, I haven't seen that, like, you know, you're looking for, like, that gap power jump or just hitting the ball harder. And he wasn't a hard-hit guy in AAA, so it's not like you should have fully anticipated coming in there. He didn't have, like, the highest hard-hit rate coming into baseball, but he was doing a good job getting on base down there. And we haven't seen that as much so far in the bigs.
We'll see what that lineup looks like also a little bit later on today when that's out as the Royals get set for game three of this split but four-game series. Back at the K tonight, Chris Bubich again on the mound for KC here on 610 Sports Radio. We know that the baseball COVID-19 cases have been limited for the most part, at least outbreak-wise, to the Marlins and to the Cardinals. We got the names of the Cardinals players yesterday. Now, Derek Jeter for the Marlins spoke out, and he said it's more about just players letting their guard down. That's where he's put the blame.
They were getting together in groups. They weren't wearing masks as much as they should have. They weren't social distancing. You know, everyone was getting tested. We went the whole spring training 2.0 without a positive. And the entire traveling party got a little too comfortable. Should they have been doing that? No. and that's been addressed. They let their guard down.
Understatement of the year, by the way, from Derek Jeter there. No kidding. Based on all the reports that have been out there, obviously the player let their guard down. That's a nice way of saying they were irresponsible and didn't give a, you know what, because they wanted to go out and have. That's an understatement of the year from Derek Jeter. And I know you're going to enjoy this segment because anytime you can knock Derek Jeter, you're going to enjoy it. Anytime. Usually it's about his on-field performance and you don't think he's
different. This is manager Derek Jeter.
This is front office executive Derek Jeter.
Look, it's his job to probably defend players.
I think that's what's
like
going
this.
On here. Yeah.
So I will let him saying they let their guard down slide. But either he is covering up some egregious falsehoods, in my opinion, or he is choosing to be so willfully ignorant that is just as bad. Did you see some of the excuses players gave Derek Jeter for why they, quote, let their guard down? Now, there's innocent ones, like attended a small gathering at a friend's home, which, again, maybe you should just not do for 60 days if you're a Major League Baseball player trying to
say that again. It's just 60 days, truly.
60 days. It's the smallest conceivable ask. Like, just the smallest courtesy. And then they go as far to say one player's excuse for why he left the hotel, broke quarantine, then eventually later tested positive for COVID, shutting down multiple teams in baseball for weeks was he went to go get milk.
He just wanted a glass of milk.
There's no way that is where he really went. Milk is clearly a euphemism for something, and you can put together whichever version of that you think it is. But the guy didn't leave the hotel to just go buy milk. You're gonna risk it all for some 2%?
He needed his thirst quenched.
The hotel
has
milk.
Specify that it was 2%. I believe him because it's so ridiculous that it has to be true. Maybe it's a specific brand of milk. Maybe it's a
it's
soy.
A hotel.
Maybe it's a soy almond milk that you can only get at certain places.
It's a fancy hotel.
I don't know what his dietary restrictions are.
Yeah, well, then go have a trainer or someone on staff go and get that for you. Not as a player. You don't need to be going out and getting particular type of milk. You make those arrangements ahead of time. These are things that need to be followed.
Milk. That's what we're leaving for.
Milk still might be code for going to the club. Maybe he was swiping right on Tinder or Bumble, and he knows he can't.
Oh, milk is for something, yeah, but like it's milk.
I don't think he was getting, as you say, it wasn't 2% or wasn't skim milk.
I gotta be honest. Like, I can see exactly how this conversation went. Jeter's like, dude, what the hell? We told you guys to stay in the hotel. What happened? Where did you go? Guy's like, I had to get milk. I'm sorry, did you say milk?
They didn't have chocolate milk. You can't just mix the chocolate syrup in. That's not the same thing.
It is not. It is definitely not the same
thing. It's not the same thing. I worked at a restaurant inside of a hotel for a while. They definitely have milk.
Yeah, but if it's not on the menu, you can't just be like, hey, I know you got some milk in the kitchen when you make food. Can I have a glass of it? You can't just call down to room service from that.
I mean, they'd probably bring you a glass of milk.
They absolutely
don't have strawberry milk.
The hotel I worked at, the room service was 24 hours a day.
Yeah, but like,
some dude would be working at 2 in the morning, ready to drop some milk for you for $14.
There's no way.
It's going to be a $9.99 a glass is definitely what it's going to be.
There's no way they just carry strawberry milk. Have you ever had strawberry milk? It's delicious.
It's been a while, but it's been since I was a kid and I had some Nesquik strawberry.
Right, you think this word when you snuck out of the house as a kid and you're like, oh, sorry, yeah, mom, I just want to go get milk. It's not working.
Have you ever heard a kid lie? Like, I mean, like, as a teenager, you've been, like, around one of your teenage friends when they were trying to tell their parent a lie. And then it's so obvious. Like, it's either too much detail or too little.
Yeah.
Like, you either go through the lie where you're like, this kid showed up, and he took this thing, and then he was threatening us, and then he threw this thing, and it was this color. And here's, it's either that lie or it's like, hey, where were you? Store. What store? Milk. You're like, no, I didn't say what. I said, what store were you at? I went to get milk. What store did you buy the milk? Like, the gas station? Look, it's either, like, when people, like, there's an appropriate amount of, like, information someone gives when they're telling the truth. It's not milk.
I do think Jeter was covering for the players. I don't think he was ignorant. He's been Mr. Gift Basket himself has probably delivered some milk gift baskets along the way. Like, I don't think he was.
That just seems like a really terrible thing to put in a gift basket.
I don't
it's not going to refrigerate,
right? Yeah, I don't know. He was gift
powdered
baskets.
Milk, maybe?
Yeah. know.
There are a lot of different types of milk sodas, as you've correctly pointed out in this scenario, but I got to assume a hotel's got most of them.
No. Zero chance. They just put chocolate syrup and white milk. There's zero chance they carry anything other than
shelf stable that way.
I guess I actually have more respect for Lou Williams now. Of the, you know, as much fun as we had with the Lou Williams story, Magic City, getting the wings. We now find out he actually was getting a lap dance as well. Shocking, I know. I feel like at least he didn't try to lie to us in flight, even though initially he did a little bit. So I was just going for the wings, but at least he admitted he was there. He got
caught. She also said she danced for him, but like 6 to 8 feet away. You could make the argument that he was just in the vicinity of the dancing. It wasn't technically for him.
Yeah, but at least they didn't try to give us some ridiculous excuses.
So you've got a hard time to make that.
He was getting milk. I mean, wings at least is a little more believable. If the baseball players would say, players said they want to go get some wings versus I want to go and get some milk.
He needed some of that red velvet Mahomes Chateau milk.
That Chateau milk
that
is...
That stuff sold out quick.
Oh, but the milk itself, they make such phenomenal milk. This is an unpaid advertisement, by the way. Delicious milk of the highest quality.
Yes.
I like their root beer milk too, sort of. But still, come on. Then he's got to say what kind of milk. I can't just get the story that he went out to get some milk. If he went out to get some red velvet Chateau milk for Patrick Mahomes, fine. I will listen. But again, I'm still worried about the level of detail there. At some point, it feels like you're telling me too much information. I have questions. I went to the gas station for some milk. But why? But why did you go get milk there? There's milk here.
There's got to be somebody else that can help you. I'm not buying it whatsoever. I really think it was, he knows, you know, there's not a bubble, but they're keeping track, making sure they're not bringing anybody else into the hotel.
60
I really
days,
think
man.
I think
60 days they've been is on all the, they're asking.
Be on the road.
Today.
I think they've been on the road a little bit already. And someone, I don't know, the individual, they might have been on one of the dating apps, swiping right. And it was a way for them to go out. And milk is the code word that they use. Maybe that's being used across Major League Baseball. And that's how they know what's going on.
Whatever he was getting, it was white. That's all I know. There's a lot of choices. I'm saying it could be. There's a lot of things that are white.
What?
I'm saying milk is code for something, and I assume whatever purchase he was making was white in nature, and that's where the milk thing came from. All I'm telling you is that wasn't milk.
So you're saying he left for sex.
I didn't say it was that. It could have been lots of things.
I mean, I absolutely think that's what ultimately happened. I think that is very high on the list of what happened. I think that there was, whether it was someone they already knew.
They already decided, like as a team, that milk was going to be the excuse they made up ahead of time. Mm-hmm. Where were you going? I was going to get some milk. You're like, that's not even a good answer. You should have just said you were going to get wings. Like, you should have said, I didn't think about it. I just went to go get this food. But he needed a reason. Like, he didn't think he'd break in quarantine just getting milk. He knew he'd be breaking quarantine getting an entire meal. We always saw that with Lou Williams. So he's got to come up with, like, a different version of the same excuse, essentially. Otherwise, Mike Matheny's out here saying he made his wife go get him gas. He's like, hey, how serious are you taking it, Matheny? He's like, I asked my wife to go fill up the tank the other day. So, like, some guys are taking it plenty serious. I appreciate that.
Trash of the day. That could have been the trash of the day, too, I feel like. Maybe they were also going to get some flavored M&Ms. Do you think that was part of the list, and along with the milk? The reason why I bring that up is because apparently there are popcorn flavored M&Ms. I don't know where you're at on M&Ms anyway. Where you are on popcorn and the flavors? If you're
a kettle corn
guy, are you a regular?
I like several different types of popcorn. I like cheese popcorn. I like kettle corn.
So that's
corn.
Where I draw the line.
Buttered popcorn.
No on the cheese. I'm good with the kettle corn.
Are you talking some caramel corn?
No caramel, no cheese. No caramel or cheese for me.
You don't like cheese popcorn?
Nah. Kettle corn, regular butter, we're good, but that's it. Apparently now you can get whatever your favorite flavor is in M&M's. The new snack features yellow packaging, here, which is confusing, by the way. I thought yellow was the peanut butter M&M's or the peanut M&M's. Can't be confusing the packaging on this. You're going to grab the wrong one at the store.
I'm pretty sure the peanut butter M&M's are orange.
What's the yellow ones? The peanut ones are yellow.
Yes.
Okay. So you can't have the popcorn be yellow, too, is the point. Apparently, milk chocolate with a crisp rice center. Sweet and buttery treat. It's been spotted at grocery stores already. Have you had these?
I'm looking at sounds gross.
The packaging's not all that enticing,
sounds
by
gross.
The way.
I don't want that. Why would I want popcorn M&M's?
There's a lot of things that are... You were trying to get me to drink mustard beer. Yes, why would I want mustard beer?
You think this sounds good?
Yeah, better than mustard beer. As much
popcorn
as I love beer, mustard.
You know, I take it back. God, maybe it is good. Now that I think about it, I've had people put M&M's in popcorn, and it's all right. But somehow encased in the M&M seems like it's backwards. Drop some M&M's, sprinkle some M&M's and some popcorn. This is a nice little treat. It's like a trail
never
mix
had that.
Situation.
That's new.
It's like a trail mix. You've never had popcorn? I've done that. But I've never had an M&M like popcorn dropping. Inside
I've never, had popcorn that I popped and then crumbled up M&Ms and put
not
in myself. No,
just,
I have not.
Just the regular M&M, just sprinkle them in there.
Not on my own. I mean, I've had it in like a trail mix type of thing or something, you know, or a combination.
It's a nice little treat.
Huh. No, I've not.
But I somehow reversed, it doesn't seem good. Like, I'm not sure they're going to be able to execute that version
well, it's
of
got
it.
Good ratings. A snack rating website, which I didn't know existed, Impulsive Buy, has given it 8 out of a 10.
I'll only take them seriously if they give a proper rating to a Whatchamacallit. So tell me what the snack rating does for the Whatchamacallit, and then we can have a conversation. Most underrated candy bar that exists. I'm assuming somebody else has a version of that. 913-576-7610.
I don't really eat candy bars. Like, they're fine. I don't dislike them. I just don't eat candy that much.
Told you, just give me a classic.
What's their
Dove,
rating on the
Whatchamacallit? Whatchamacallit? I don't remember what the name
before
of...
I can trust this website.
Oh, you don't trust the ratings.
Well, I
want to
know how they've previously rated other foods.
Impulsive
to judge.
Impulsive by Whatchamacallit.
I want to know how.
Let's see.
That's how I can properly judge them.
Oh, that's a podcast. I don't have time to listen to the podcast for the rating here. I get it. I understand the hustle, but that's not going to happen here. We need a flat out rating. I have to get back to you on that one.
Okay. Impossible. That's
never,
what it's called.
Impulsive buy. Yeah, I'm gonna guess they rated pretty well. It's high. By the way, they did a list of the most popular impulsive buy reviews, and not on that list either. Not on that list either. So there you go.
The popcorn one, but that's new.
And neither is the whatchamacallit though.
I mean, it doesn't have to be an impulsive buy. I just
people said
make
they're
sure
putting
they...
Skittles in their popcorn. You ever done that? I'm from the text line.
Ooh, that combo makes no sense.
Skittles are fantastic, though.
Yeah, but you don't do candy,
sweet,
like that kind of
the
candy.
The best
with...
mix, though, sweet and salt. Sometimes you ever had that? You've had some popcorn, then you've had all this salt. And you're like, I could use something sweet now. And you kind of go back and forth. Completely
know,
healthy, by the way.
Yeah, I don't know if I'm putting them directly into, though. Like, that's the problem. I'm putting directly into my popcorn. I'm not saying I wouldn't eat Skittles and then eat popcorn.
Chocolate,
I just don't feel like I put them in there. But chocolate and popcorn's
a good
combo.
Chocolate and salt go together. Salt and tangy don't go together.
Textline says your Whatchamacallit's a top 5 candy bar.
See, this guy gets it. Completely underrated. Does not get its respect.
I've never seen you even eat one.
I don't think I've had a candy bar in
they
years.
They don't sell those here. You gotta get those at the gas station.
Not at the store here. I didn't know if you just brought one in.
No.
If you love them so much.
No, that's like the impulse quick trip buy. That's okay. I'd like a candy bar. Hello,
do they still make? They still
How
make Mambas?
Doing, buddy?
They still make the Mamba candy?
I think so.
That was popular for a while.
Yes, I believe they still
I
make
probably
Mamba
ate
candy.
A Twix like 2-3 years ago.
You really don't eat candy much.
I go with that. You guys have trashed me for this, but
regular plain Hershey bar.
Dove chocolate bars. They're fantastic. They're terrific. Milk chocolate, rich, smooth,
just
silky,
like the
good to go.
Plainest version.
That's fantastic. And a Snickers bar every once in a while. That's about it. Butterfinger used to be very, or not Butterfinger, Three Musketeers used to be very high on the list. Just, that's fantastic, too.
You should try Whatchamacallit.
I'll work on that.
Last minute.
Rafael Nadal is officially out of the U.S. Open. The tennis legend said Tuesday it's just too damn unsafe for him to travel to America during the COVID-19 pandemic. So the situation's very complicated worldwide. World's number one ranked player added, "This is a decision I never wanted to take, but I have decided to follow my heart this time. And for the time being, I would rather not travel."
You think the number two ranked player has anything to do with that? Novak Djokovic tested positive.
Uh-huh.
After like having this huge camp and seen out partying, then after he had been cleared, was seen out not wearing a mask with a group of people again.
Mm-hmm.
Before most recently seen a mask. I mean, if that's the feeling from other top players in tennis, I don't blame Rafa Nadal for doing that. Again, this is like any other opt-out. I don't feel I'm completely understanding of their decision to not put themselves at risk.
I mean, this is gonna, you know, international or events that bring in international players or internet, you know, just large events or competitive sports that involve international competition. Certainly next year's Olympics will be a big question where you have are going to have a lot of players and athletes that decide not, you know, decide to opt out. This is something that will continue for a while, I would imagine. And so, no, I'm not really surprised to see this news. Just look at Major League Baseball. Canada didn't even want the Blue Jays to play there because they didn't want players from America coming up to Canada, in and out of their country. So I'm not surprised to hear an athlete is like, it's just too dangerous to come to the United States right now. The numbers are too high. I don't feel like it's a safe place to operate.
I can't. I mean, it's a lot of travel for tennis, man. And it requires a lot of on-site people to be played the way they normally like to play it. And if just the guy, think about how many times you touch the tennis ball the guy just touched, or the ball boy touched the tennis ball that you just touched, or the, you know, it's a lot of contact with people even without fans. And again, one of the other stars in tennis has not taken it seriously at all.
Coming up next, we head into the 11 o'clock hour. We'll get to the Chiefs red half hour. What did Andy Reid have to say when he joined Fesco in the morning one-on-one? In particular, a comparison he made for Clyde Edwards-Helaire. But up next, Danny Welniak of KCTV 5 stops by.
Cody and Gold, weekdays 10 to 2, 610 Sports Radio.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.